From Bureaucracy's basement to your ears, this is the weekly meeting of the Queen City Improvement Bureau. Each week, the dedicated staff of the Bureau meet to file reports, make recommendations, and attempt to survive on the water that drips from the boiler pipes in the back room into our open mouths as we sleep on a bed of dot matrix printer paper. Maybe one day we'll escape from the subterranean hell that is this basement, but until that day comes, the city is not going to improve itself. So, here we stay, improving things. This meeting is now in session.
Hey.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm working on my Snuffleupagus.
Really?
Yeah, I know. How's that sound?
Because you're like my imaginary friend, is that what you're saying?
Kind of. Yeah, you've been doing this show for years by yourself.
Oh, no.
And nobody has had the heart to tell you otherwise.
Wow. Everybody's been condescending to me like I'm a big bird.
There's an entire Reddit devoted to what I'm probably saying.
Yeah.
Just based on what you say on air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's nice that people can just fill in the blanks on this show then. And it explains the very, very wide array of responses that I get.
Like, why are you on there by yourself?
Yeah.
What's going on? But you're like, crazy people.
Yeah, nuts. So, Snuffle. Snuff.
Please, call me Mr. Upagus.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, should we do some kind of attendance?
Oh, then? Why the heck not?
This is that quiet period at the beginning where there's no noise.
There's no noise. It's just nobody here until we summon ourselves into being with attendance. Yep. So first attendee, the only person I see here is you.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, you got my name earlier.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. All right, well then, if you claim that you're Paul.
I am Paul.
Paul Duchesne?
Paul Duchesne.
Then we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Next up is second attendee, very animated Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yes.
Yes.
Who also goes by the name of Aiden Morgan.
From time to
time. The one,
time.
The only.
The one, the only.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I'm not the one, the only.
You're not?
Years ago, I got an email for an Aiden Morgan.
Yeah.
At a university in Leeds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's another Aiden Morgan out there.
And?
And I Googled Aiden Morgan. And turns out there's quite a few scattered around the world.
Huh.
And I even, idly, when I was bored, I actually emailed a couple of them and said, hey, you're not the only Aiden Morgan out there. And the responses were like, uh-huh.
Oh, really? They didn't want to get together?
No, nobody thought it was cool.
Oh, man.
I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, how many of us are there? More than one.
Yeah.
But not a lot.
You guys could all get together at some central location.
Yeah.
Yeah, discuss life as an Aiden Morgan.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be kind of the elder.
Oh, really?
Well, most Aiden Morgans, in the early 2000s, when I first noticed the presence of others, like a Jedi becoming aware of the Sith.
Right.
They were often, a lot of them were very young still. I didn't, a lot of them were children.
Right.
I did not reach out to the children.
Right. Well, I guess because when your name would have been unusual at your age.
I'd never met another Aiden.
At your age.
At my age.
When you were younger.
When I was younger.
Yeah.
When I was born 71, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did not meet another Aiden until I was 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, there was one when I was 9, because my mother said, hey, Aiden, come here. She didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
And a guy in front of us turned around and said, yes. But other than that, just two Aidens before I hit 20.
Right.
And now the world is lousy with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we infest, civilized spaces.
See, I had the exact opposite experience. Because, I went to Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
So you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a Paul.
True.
Yeah.
True. I often say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I can't find them anywhere. And I don't know if it's because like I mingle with atheists or something, heathens.
That might be it.
But yeah, I don't see any Pauls anywhere.
Where have all the Pauls gone?
Where have all the Pauls gone?
Although we do actually have a friend and sometime colleague who's another Paul.
We do?
Paul Clausen.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Paul.
You're just forgetting the Pauls. You meet them all the time.
I just think of him as Clausen.
Exactly. Shout out to Paul Clausen, graphic designer for Prairie Dog magazine.
So I have a thing, like I've never gone out looking for other Paul DeShane's, although apparently there's a heavy metal guitarist in the States named Paul DeShane.
Oh.
Yeah. Same spelling too. But when I lived in Ontario, in my 30s, mm-hmm. everywhere I went, people would come up to me and they would start talking to me like they'd known me their whole life. And I would be like, I think you might have like me mistaken with somebody else. And it would take them a little while to like realize that I was not the person they thought I was. And this was happening a lot. And my friends and stuff would like witness this happening. They were like, wow, that was weird. And I'd be like, yeah, it was weird. Now, I was born in Ontario. And there was a time when I was in Ottawa and I was walking down the street. And this fence, maybe I told the story even on the show, but this sports car pulled up at an intersection. I was going through the crosswalk, me in my slovenly clothes, walking, slumming from like my apartment to my job. And there was this guy in this fancy sports car who I looked at him and it was like looking in a mirror, but I swear to God, I'm not making this up. He had a goatee. And he's driving a sports car through like the financial district of Ottawa, living the good life.
Wow.
Yeah. So
just mirror universe Paul.
And yeah, so apparently he's, you know, living the high life in Ontario, knows everybody, everybody loves him, and people kept mistaking me for him, I think.
It's weird because just as you had a double, mm-hmm. I mean, although there's more to it for you, obviously.
Yeah.
I too had a double in this city.
Oh yeah,
and I never met him.
Oh really?
Never saw him face to face. But I, for years, I would have people come up and initiate conversations with me,
yeah.
And I could almost, after a while, I kind of like came to expect it because somebody would come up and I wouldn't recognize them, but they'd smile, they'd start talking, and after a minute, I'd be like, oh, this is one of these people.
Yeah.
This is one of these people who thinks I'm that other person. They think that I'm my doppelganger.
Yeah.
But I never, ever said, who do you think I am? Because
so you never found out?
No, because I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
And an absolute, like, wuss with strangers. So I would just kind of go along with it.
Right.
And so we'd have these conversations, but you could see their faces, like, getting more and more confused as it went on when they began to twig to the fact that I probably was not the person that they thought I was. Apparently, I was in the same parking lot as this person one time.
Oh, at the same time?
And my friends saw him. And I was walking towards them, and they looked at me, and then they got this panic look on their faces. I kid you not. And they said, Aiden, turn around. Turn around, Aiden. Turn around. And instead of turning around, I was like, what? What? What are you talking about?
You know, maybe
around. Why would I do that?
Well, maybe it's because that was you.
It's possible.
It could be like a future you who was in the parking lot then, and you know, like you were like something innate within you knew that if you turned around, it would create like a temporal paradox.
It's possible.
And so it wasn't that you were just being kind of dim,
right?
It was that you were like saving the universe.
That's possible. Yeah. And apparently, this person did not have a goatee, but they were taller than me,
right?
But I mean, most people are taller than me. So
sure.
I mean,
but future you might be taller. Maybe they've sorted that out in the future.
I certainly hope so. Maybe I pioneer tallening technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, leg lengthening without all the muscle breaking bones.
Or maybe you're just wearing like lifts in your boots.
Maybe I've just done that.
Yeah.
You know, I did see Madam Web today. So,
oh, did you?
So there are,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. I can't take credit for it.
No.
Sony Pictures, Columbia Pictures, Dakota Johnson, all those people came together to make that god awful thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are temporal loops that happen mostly because the main character can see the future briefly and then et cetera. Although it's unclear what's going on.
Wow.
It's a terrible film.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's really bad.
But is it like, should I go see it anyways? Or just wait for it to come out on VHS?
Yeah. I mean, I would Maybe rent it. I would not add it to your home video library, though.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and it's fascinating to watch just because you can see all those spots where the movie is just not making any sense.
Yeah.
Where dialogue is clearly ADR'd in after the fact, where lines from one shot to the next don't track because clearly edits have happened and reshoots have happened.
Yeah.
And it all kind of looks like a mid-budget TV streaming show.
Wow.
Rather than an actual feature-length film.
Okay, that just sounds terrible, like not even worth trying.
Yeah.
Not even bad enough to be worth watching.
It's kind of fun to watch Dakota Johnson be a complete jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just be, like, incredibly rude. Not even amusingly rude.
Right.
But just, like, perplexingly rude.
Yeah.
To like, children in the film. It's really funny.
I think she might be my favorite actor in Hollywood right now because of the way she exudes just being so utterly fed up with all of us.
Yes. Yeah, and we deserve her contempt.
Yeah.
Because we watch Madame Web. And
yeah. Yeah. Or any of her other films.
Oh, that's... Yeah, you're not wrong, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does a good actress in terrible things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not watching anything. I watch city council meetings and TikToks of cats giving high fives.
Oh,
because
nice.
I'm so disgusted with the state of popular entertainment these days.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Me too, but I still watch it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, so do we have quorum?
No.
Huh. It's strange that. I mean, they keep like giving us money for all these beds. They keep building beds down here.
I know.
There's like all this money for beds. They're also like building like other improvement bureau buildings all over the place.
Oh man,
we're gonna have so much improvement because we're putting up so many improvement buildings.
Is that from that $36 million from the federal government? Is that what's
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know where any of this money is coming from, but I'm just like, man. You know, you can build all the improvement bureaus you want, put all the beds you want in them, but there's still only two of us.
That's a very strange thing to say, but I.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on 91.3 FM, CJTR, with the Queen City Improvement Bureau.
Ooh. Did you know that the provincial budget, which mm-hmm. you're referring to, emphasizes the three C's?
What are the three C's?
I forget, because...
Are we allowed to say them on air?
We are. I'm pretty sure since the government said them, they're probably right. Transmissible on air.
I'm pretty sure that our premier has never found one of those C's.
There's a number of C's I think he has probably been unable to deal with. I actually think it's funnier. The reason I don't remember what they are is because I immediately thought the three C's, like the Adriatic, the Caspian Sea. And I'm like, wow, this is the start, I think, of Saskatchewan's naval adventures.
Oh, it's about time.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, we build galleons, we set mm-hmm. out, you know, we were at the high seas, oceans have become battlefields. That's all I want.
Yeah?
Out of our future.
In Saskatchewan.
In Saskatchewan.
Who's that guy who built the boat?
Oh, the Sukunin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to finally, like, realize Sukunin's vision.
Sukunin's, like, long, long-awaited dream is finally going to come true.
Yeah. We should put him on our money when we break away.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Like when Saskatchewan finally secedes as Mo clearly wants.
Yeah, yes. We'll put Sukunin on our $1 bill.
Oh, we're getting paper money, are we?
Of course.
Nice. Okay, I'm all in.
Because, we're going to go... we're going to, like, go forward into the future with digital money.
Digital money?
No, it'll be paper money
here. Or even metal discs.
Yeah, we'll have $2 bills, I bet you.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want 25-cent bills. I want us to go all the way.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
Yeah. They could be like $1 bills, but we just cut like in quarters.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
What do you want to bet there's no Tommy Douglas bill?
I bet you that's quite a bit.
I bet you that's the first thing they do. They erase him from the social studies curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Probably. Or they corrupt his legacy.
Job done.
They claim that Tommy Douglas was a fierce champion of the free market and hated unions.
Yeah.
We could have them say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's people who would buy it.
I'm sure there are. Yes, there are some low information folks who might just believe it.
Yeah. Anyways. Should we move on to an agenda?
Oh, why the
heck not? There's not a ton on the agenda to start.
I mean, yeah, I didn't see anything about Madam Web on the agenda, but I talked about it.
You know what? It was implied.
What's not on this agenda but should be on this agenda?
Madam Web.
Madam Web. Her web connects us all.
She does.
Yes.
And Madam Web, she's a comic. She's actually in the books?
In comics?
Yeah. Okay, this is all like post when I was reading Spider-Man comics.
I can't remember.
I don't know why I'm bringing this back to Madam Web.
I don't remember. Apparently, in Madam Web, she's an elderly woman. She's blind, and she's in a wheelchair,
okay.
But she sees the future.
Oh, that's far more interesting than Dakota Johnson.
Well, okay. Do you want me to spoil?
I bet you she ends up blind at the end.
And in a wheelchair?
Oh, really? I thought they would save that for the sequel. every episode in the Madam Web saga, she suffers another debilitating injury.
Madam Web 2, Cassie gets her wheels. I don't know if that's what you want.
Well, she's blind. She falls down the stairs in Act 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil all that, although, yes,
okay.
these things do happen.
Yeah.
But the end of the movie takes place at a fireworks factory.
Oh my God! Really?
You know.
This sounds like the best movie ever.
I know. Like,
who would have ever thought of putting a climax to a superhero movie in a fireworks factory?
So when you get there, you say, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
Right?
The answer is, they really do get to the fireworks factory.
Huh. Are they in it? I don't even want to know. I was going to ask more questions. But
it's set up early. There's a scene early where you hear somebody say, "Hey, we're at the fireworks factory."
Are they in a town where fireworks are like the business that everybody's involved in? It's a fireworks town. I work in the fireworks factory. My dad works in the fireworks factory. My grandfather works in the fireworks
factory. And by golly, you're going to work in the fireworks factory, Dakota Johnson. Never. I'm going to hit people with an ambulance.
We have six fingers for the whole family. But you're going to work in the fireworks factory.
We need another hand, literally.
Yeah.
No, it actually takes place in New York City.
Oh, okay.
So there just happens to
famous
be
for its fireworks. Famous, factories.
Yes, New York City, the big pyrotechnic. Yes.
Anyways, so hey,
yes,
we do have a thing to talk about.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Okay, so there is news.
Okay,
are you worried about theater, Hayden?
I am terrified about the state of theater.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you take heart. It's going to be restored somewhat. Well, it's literally going to be restored to the tune of $2 million.
Really?
Yeah. So the Globe Theater, as you know, has been under a renovation project for a very long time. They were doing a full heritage restoration of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, long story short, they're close to the end of the project, and the project turned out to be way more expensive than they thought it would be. So the Globe, instead of taking on massive debt, actually they've secured a debt. They're going back out to all the people who like committed money to the project and asking them for more money to cover and it's the cost of inflation, right? So they've gone back to the city and said, "Could you kick in an extra $2 million so we can finish the restoration of this building?"
Mm-hmm.
And the city said yes.
Huh.
Which is good news. Things contributing to the extra cost of the building, apparently there had been a lot of sort of cosmetic or theatrical, as it were, renovations done to the building in the past that obscured the fact that the building was in far worse condition than they thought at first. They took the plaster off and discovered that it was all just showmanship. And
it was literally a set that had been built at some point.
Yeah.
And then plastered over.
Yeah. It looked like our town wherever you looked. But underneath, it was Blade Runner.
It was Dogville.
Yeah.
Okay.
But James Yauch from P3 Architects, they've been running the Heritage Restoration. They were talking about how the cement of the roof was just no longer in good shape. And they were, you know, parts of building were coming off that should not be coming off, like structural things.
Oof.
So they've had to pour a lot of extra money into, like, you know, making sure the building doesn't come crashing down. One of the rationales for why the Globe should get this additional support is when it was clear that this restoration was needed and that this building was in, you know, disrepair, they considered leaving. And, you know, administration, city council said, you know, we need the Globe as an anchor cultural institution in the downtown. So even though they could have moved somewhere else in the city, got, like, you know, fancy digs for less money and not been out of business for so long, they decided to stay in the downtown. So they took a big risk doing that as a, you know, as a theater. And I guess one of the things that struck me is that how, you know, city council's hands were kind of tied, because there's really nothing else in downtown right now except the promise of the Globe Theater at this point. There's Cornwall Center. There's, like, a mall.
Right. There's a Fat Badger.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of good bars. There's a couple of good restaurants that you can go to down there. But in terms of, like, you know, sort of like a, you know, a community gathering place, like a center of culture, there really isn't anything else down there.
Yeah.
So.
There's not even a stadium, for example.
Right. No arena. The Plaza's turned out to be kind of like a fart. And thanks to certain property owners, there is a burned out empty lot right on the plaza, and then kitty corner too at the Burns Hanley building has been dismantled. So there's, like, right in the heart of our downtown, there are these two big vacant lots. It needs something to liven it up, and the Globe is the thing that they're kind of hoping.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there are theater kids starving in the streets.
Right.
Yeah. Like, just coming up to you doing, like, you know, impromptu Oklahoma songs to try and get some, so, like, just enough money to get by. So we need the Globe Theater.
Yeah, we'll improvise for food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would rather just, like, kick them to the curb.
Yeah, I don't want a yes and that kind of behavior.
It's a threat, not so much a...
You think it was a triple threat? Nah, it's just a threat.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what?
What?
That means, with the restoration of Globe Theater, that I can finally put on my, I can pitch my Terminator musical idea.
I didn't know you had planned this.
Yes.
Tell me.
In the future,
the
Resistance sends back triple threat Kyle Reese.
Ooh, I like it.
To the present to put on a show warning humanity about the looming threat of the machine war.
Oh, this is actually really good. I like this.
It's called Terminator Sensation.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought of it. It's been a dream of mine since earlier this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And are you prepared to put it on in the round?
Yeah, I think that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So you have to form a circle, you know, do all the things. Dramaturgy. I don't know. I've run out of theater stuff to think about.
Well, you should hit Wikipedia before you make your pitch. But I'm sure they're looking for stuff.
We're going to put on this ply?
See, I also have an idea for a musical, but it's not that good, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure it probably is not worse than what I just pitched. So
I want to do Spudco the musical.
Oh,
I think that is a saga. That's a saga that the world needs to, like, experience with song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Spud turned out to be a dud. Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I didn't have a good song that good. All I've got so far is potato, 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 potato.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you like it?
I can see where that's going.
Yeah.
I think as an opener, definitely.
I think that's about as how well worked out Spudco was as an actual, like, endeavor at the time.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong.
Just sing potato over and over again. Yeah. Profit.
I mean, the main benefit of Spudco, I think, was probably to the Sask Party, which could, like, dine out on that story for years in the House.
Well, but they can't anymore because people have forgotten about it. And so this would be my gift to our fine Saskatchewan Party to remind everyone about Spudco so that they could like, remind us election time once again.
Yes. Province collapsing? Don't forget Spudco.
Yeah.
Yep. All your problems can be traced back to the NDP's ill-gotten attempts to wrest the title of potato empire from Prince Edward Island.
I don't know why it failed, because I haven't read anything about it, except that I know that the name is Spudco.
Yeah.
And it involved potatoes.
Yeah. I think it was just a lot of money poured. I don't remember much, but it was a lot of money poured into this idea that just, I think, was run by, I don't know if they're shady, the corporation was shady, or just vaporware, essentially.
Right. Yeah, it can't be worse than the global transportation hub.
I was just going to say, if there's one thing that Saskatchewan governments, regardless of ideological stripe, or like level of governance, are good at, it seems to be getting taken in by by business people who just kind of want the money and nothing else.
All right. Well, on that note, should we go on to innovative revenue tools?
Let's do that, because I don't think that Terminator Sensation or Spudco the musical are going to make a lot of money.
I think you underestimate. We could do it as a double feature.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will turn us over to... Oh, hang on a second. Okay. I will turn us over to the innovative revenue tools right now. From innovative revenue tools.
So innovative, so tools.
Yeah.
Extremely revenue.
Very.
Yes.
Next item on the agenda.
Is it how we're all going to go playing basketball at Hoopla? No.
No.
No, it is not.
We're not doing that. No, it was making Queen City mountains out of Queen City molehills.
Nice. Yeah. I love this idea, because we are in need of mountains in the Queen City.
We are, and we need to fill in some damn molehills.
Yes. Those we keep tripping over them, and we could either get rid of them, or we could build them up to like massive sizes.
Yeah. So we had, at the end of February, there was an executive committee meeting, and this is like so trivial, what I wanted to talk about. And I even, like, got audio for it. Because I'm just going to tell you how it ends.
Okay.
Nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens.
No.
There's, like, two meetings. Like, I would say probably an hour and a half of council time was devoted to this issue. And it ended with, yeah, we're not doing it. Yeah.
Wow. So nobody even gets blinded and in a wheelchair? Okay.
Yeah. No, nothing like that.
Okay.
So, but it was... It was utterly, utterly fascinating, and I needed to talk about it. So I don't typically like to talk about delegations that come to council, right? Because they're private citizens, and they're not politicians. Nobody voted for them to show up. So I'm not going to like use names or anything, but there was a used car salesman.
Oh, great.
So we'll call him Jim. So Jim, mm-hmm. The used car salesman. He comes to city council, to executive committee, to say he wants to rent some city land, like a little chunk of unused city land that he wants to rent and put a used car lot on it.
Reasonable.
Apparently this is a thing. So you can like lease city land, put businesses on it, right? Now, typically you would think you'd be paying like market rent. Or lease rate, or whatever they call it. In real estate business.
Right.
So he went to the city, and apparently it took a really long time. He contacted the city towards the fall of last year, finally got to executive committee in February. And the reason that this had to go to council, very simple reason, if council is going to like lease out some property that they own to a private individual, and it's not going to be put up, you know, on the website as, hey, we got this land, you can lease it. If it's somebody like that, they're going to lease it to, you know, sole source to somebody, mm-hmm. It has to get approved by elected representatives. So it finally got on the docket for this February executive committee meeting. And what we found out is that The market rate on this land was, I believe it was $18,000 a year would be the lease rate. And then there were property taxes on top of that, which I think were about $2,400.
I'm going to say for a business, that doesn't sound outrageous.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently there were other businesses in the area that were leasing city land at market rates right nearby there.
Yeah.
So this used car salesman came to council, and he didn't like that price.
I mean, that's less than $2,000 a month.
He came with a counteroffer. I wanted to play that.
I want to hear it.
Okay, here we go.
So basically what I'm leasing is a parking lot. It's been sitting empty for 15 years. Nobody's done nothing with it because of the time frame and the hassle that it's taken me to get to this point. I want to negotiate on the price of the lease, but I was told by the real estate office that the only way I could do that was to come to city council and present my case. To make it affordable for me to get the business up and going and sustain it. It doesn't do me any good to lease a piece of property and 6 months down the road I end up going bankrupt because the business can't support the numbers. So what I'm here to ask is $1 plus taxes for the first 2 years on the property and $1,200 taxes included for the last 3 years of a five-year lease. And that, I've run the numbers, it works, it makes sense. Otherwise, it's just not doable because I have fixed asset costs that are going to probably run me anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 just to get the property ready and up and going.
So,
Paul, I want to buy your house.
Okay.
I'd like to buy it for...
$18,000.
No, $2.50. Look, ooh, it sounds low, but I've run the numbers, and it makes sense.
Well, but I don't make anything off that.
But I do. But I get a really cheap house out of it. I mean, if you think about it from my point of view, it's a pretty sweet deal.
It is a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. So come on.
Well, maybe what we should do is we should refer this back to administration.
So what happened? I'm very curious. Did they give Jim his deal?
They did not.
Wow.
So apparently Jim, the used car salesman, who hats off. I bet you he's sold a few cars. Like, the dude's got some stones.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was, yeah, so again, $18,000 a year, he wanted to get it for $1. So I think it's like an 18,000% discount. I don't know how numbers work, but Jim does. So council listened to him, and then one of the things, I didn't clip out everything because... Jim was upset with the city because they weren't taking this deal and that he had put a lot of time and he was losing money every day that they weren't renting him this piece of property for $1 a year. So he was losing money because it was taking so long for them to take his offer of $1 a year.
I think it would go a lot quicker if he just paid them $18,000.
And apparently he had signed an MOU with the city. He had signed onto an MOU that said he was willing to pay the market rate for the lease on that property. And so when he was showing up at executive committee, to talk about this, he was showing up. Administration thought he was there to sort of like defend this deal to get this market rate property. And he surprised everybody by bringing a counteroffer to the floor of council.
Wow. I mean, that's quite the counteroffer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that city council would not, he didn't think the city council would say, yes, that sounds great. But perhaps they would say, well, we can't do that. But how about, you know, X, you know, $1 plus taxes for the first 6 months,
right,
and then like a rate for this, and then like the larger, you know, a market rate for the last year or two. Something a little more, perhaps a little more reasonable than a buck for a couple of years.
I am surprised that somebody would think that you could horse trade like this on the floor of council.
I am a little surprised as well, but if not there...
And it concerns me that there seemed to be this sense that this is how business is done. And apparently, I've been doing business wrong my whole life. If I'd known, because, I mean, I think that if they were thinking about taking that offer,
right,
I could have scraped together $2 for 2 years worth of a piece of property. I could have put all sorts of stuff there.
Well, I once actually raced in a marathon, or a half marathon, and I won the race much the same way. I demanded that all the other contestants put like heavy shackles around their ankles.
Smart.
And I said, you know, I've run the numbers. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about. I can't win any other way.
Yeah.
So they did it, and I still lost because I fell asleep. So.
Right.
But had I been there, had I like gotten up on time and gotten to the start line, I would have won that sucker.
You would have been a marathon winner. You'd be able to put that on your resume.
I know, and I feel a little bad because several people died of dehydration along the way, trying to run with the weights.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel
that's
like
not your fault.
No, I think valuable lessons were learned.
Yeah.
Like don't do that.
Right.
Don't take a bad deal.
Right. Speaking of.
Yes. Right. So, sorry, I'm getting a little off topic there.
So this did get referred back to administration. They were like, have a sit down with this
Jim,
the used car salesman. And why did it take so long? And I don't know, maybe whatever it was, 5 months was a long time to get from like application through to executive committee. But if you're dealing with somebody who's like throwing around numbers, big numbers like one,
mm-hmm.
for your property.
Plus taxes.
I'm guessing that behind the scenes there were like some reasons for why this negotiation took as long as it did to get to where it did.
Yes.
So, but it someone on council seemed a little annoyed that they weren't more jumped to the pump for this used car salesman and his dreams. And so they sent it back. And it came back to the most recent executive committee meeting. Jim showed up again. This is where Jim was saying, I'm losing money every day. Not like that. But he was very annoyed. And city manager, Nikki Anderson, basically brought back the exact same recommendation that administration had brought the last time and very strongly defended that recommendation, saying, what does this say to all the other people who are leasing land from the city?
Yes.
If we give this one person this incredibly sweet deal.
Yeah, no, it's exactly. You can't. I think it comes down to basic kindergarten principles. Like you can't create like a massive advantage for one person because then you have to give it to everybody else.
Yeah. And I appreciated her tone of voice while she was like representing her original recommendation, 2-3 weeks later, because it had this, I can't believe I had to do this tone to it. And where the heck have I moved to?
Well, maybe Jim can like do that thing that that other Saskatchewan family did and move to Russia because they were so upset at the degenerate state of our culture here.
Yeah, I'm sure that he could get a parking lot for like a ruble. I doubt it. He couldn't get rubles are worthless. But I guess what I find frustrating about this and why I'm like making a mountain out of this is people talk about how inefficient City Hall is. And I mean, man, this is one of those times where an hour and a half of council time was wasted on this over 2 days. A ton of administration time was wasted. And in the end, when this report was supposed to come to council on Wednesday of last week, there was a letter from Jim saying, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to do it anymore. And he took his dollar and he went home.
Wow.
So that piece of land is not going to get rented out. But I mean, it's there for anybody who's serious. So
can we do a $2 in tax plus taxes offer? I think that's...
I bet you they're desperate now.
I mean, that's double the last guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We're here to make good. We're here to double Jim's offer.
It's been sitting there empty for 15 years. They hidden.
I mean, that is. I would like to know why it's been sitting empty for 15 years.
It's a piece of land by the side of a road, and it's a busy road.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, and I don't know, man. Like, do we really need another car lot in the city? Like, aren't cars something we're supposed to be, like, moving beyond?
I feel like there are a lot of them. Hey, apparently, in the U.S., the Biden administration has essentially just promised to phase out gas vehicles altogether.
Oh,
I can't remember by what date, but within the next couple decades, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
See? That's the kind of forward thinking we need.
Yeah.
Well, and that was something that Jim, the used car salesman, did allude to, is like how bad the used car market is.
I was going to say, yes.
Well, I guess that was in the clip. Yeah, like, why is he even doing this then if the market is so terrible that he could only do it for a dollar?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we are on 91.3 FM. CJTR, Regina Community Radio. We are the Queen City Improvement Bureau. And we're doing some council catch-up today.
Ooh, did you say council ketchup?
Council ketchup.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This meeting cuts the mustard, Aiden.
Ooh, love it. I love mustard cutting meetings.
Yeah. So anyways, that happened. there has been good stuff. We actually, like, the last time we got together, we talked about some of the great stuff that's going down in the city right now, like changes coming to the housing bylaws and the North Central Strong initiative that's talking about revitalizing North Central. So, I mean, things are so good that I actually had to go hunting for things that we could talk about. And I have something else. Another molehill.
Oh, nice.
Or, yes,
yes, another molehill, which has been made a mountain.
Yeah. So we have a new committee, which sounds an awful lot like an old committee. So we used to have a finance committee, and then this council came in, and they were like, why do we have all these committees? And they scrapped all the committees and bundled everything into executive committee. And then they noticed, damn, these executive committee meetings are long. They were showing up at 9 in the morning, and they were going home at 9 o'clock at night. They're like, why is this happening? So they decided this is insane. We don't have a finance committee. We need a finance committee. And the mayor was like outraged that an organization this big didn't have a finance and audit committee. So they established one after having, like, literally this council under masters did away with the finance committee. But now we have a finance and audit committee. And this committee is different. The old one used to be like a subset of counselors were on it, and they would discuss financial things, and then they would make recommendations to their colleagues at executive committee or council. This committee actually has citizen members.
Oh, okay.
If I had been a smart, diligent employee, there's a reason we're in the sub-basement.
Yes,
I would have come with a list of names of people who are on this subcommittee or on this committee, the Finance and Audit Committee. But they're all like luminaries. They're all like, you know, business types.
Oh.
People with letters after their names and numbers in front of their eyes.
Wow, the dignitaries and of the community.
Yeah.
The town fathers, as they used to be called. Yes.
Yeah. So there are three counselors on there. Mancinelli, the Masters.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, is on there. And I believe Hawkins, but I could be wrong about that. There might be somebody else on there. But anyways, three counselors, the Hawk. But yeah, Mancinelli definitely has been on there, and I think he's been chairing the meetings. And then there are some, like, citizen members that are on there to provide guidance about going forward. Now, we talked about this last year, that the mayor is not happy with the way the budget looks and has been talking about changing the way that we do budget. So then a bunch of recommendations came out of the Finance and Audit Committee that came to council this week. So my first degree, the first thing that I did when I went to post-secondary education, I got a frickin' business degree.
I always forget this.
And, one of the things that I realized when I was doing this degree was, I suck at this. And I hate this. And I'm terrible at it. right? And one of the things that made me wake up to this was accounting in second year. Almost, I did so poorly on accounting in second year, I nearly flunked out of post-secondary entirely.
Oof, okay.
I was so bad at this. Because it made no freaking sense. I'm sorry. Like, it was just, everything was so, so arbitrary. So anyways, I'm the worst person to be talking about this. Right. This is why I'm doing this preamble.
I get you.
So I have no idea what the big deal is here, but these reports came from Finance and Audit Committee. One of them was, we need to provide some workshops for these citizen members to sort of get them up to speed on how all of this stuff is done at the city.
Mm, right.
Another one was, could we provide them with a glossary, you know, like a little document that tells them what all of this like endless list of acronyms means.
I confess, I love a glossary.
Everybody loves a glossary.
I mean, yeah. Weirdos don't, but we're not weirdos. So we love a glossary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will only read books that have a map at the front and some kind of like end papers with a glossary at the back.
Nice. Yeah. Books I read, they need a foreword, a preface, and an introduction. Plus
that
an epigraph.
Seems rational.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they just wanted to compile that, put it together for these citizen members who are on this committee. And then the third item, there was actually a few more, but these were like the big ones. The other one was they wanted to get a report on delegated authority because there's been some concerns about when projects have started to come in over budget over the course of the year, administration is kind of like it has the ability to say, okay, well, we're going to deprioritize some of these things over here. Because we need that money to pay for this stuff that we're actually currently working on. And so this is one of the reasons why some of the work downtown was delayed. It's because like other jobs were coming in way over budget. And so they needed to get that work done before they started, say, Scarth or 12th Avenue, right? So they want a report on how does this delegated authority work and are there ways that... Because council was kind of surprised to find out that these budget problems were happening after the fact. They'd like to be updated more frequently. So this all seemed completely reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to council. And apparently the CFO, our chief financial officer, Barry Lacy, was not able to make the meeting where all of this stuff... They're related to recommendations that came from the internal auditor. And Barry Lacy couldn't make this meeting. So he was actually on the floor of council going, yeah, I don't know the details of this stuff. So they were asking him questions. And he actually had to ask questions back to Councillor Mancinelli, who's on the Finance Committee, about, you know, details of this. So anyways, this was all a little bit irregular that your CFO, who's supposed to be on that committee, wasn't at this crucial meeting.
Right.
And then had to, like, provide advice on reports were coming forward that he wasn't really steady.
And had to actually ask Councillor Mancinelli for detail.
Yeah.
That is a little...
And the mayor. She was there as well. So, but it was all working out.
Mm-hmm.
But Councillor Nelson and Councillor Zakidniak, who are not on that committee, were like raising some red flags. This is strange that this process seems a little bit befuddled.
Right.
Are we sure that, you know, the finance department has the capacity to take on this extra work? Because in the end, it was like six reports worth of work. And so, you know, Lacy had to like go through it and like work out whether or not he could do it on the floor of council. So this led to this like strange exchange with Councillor Nelson that I wanted to play. And I'm going to play it right now. So you're going to hear Councillor Nelson has a bunch of questions. Mayor Masters is in here speaking. Barry Lacy, the CFO, responds to some of the questions. And Councillor Mancinelli leaps in with some answers here, too. So we've got like four voices going to be going here. Here we go.
So in saying that, I mean, we're voting on this. Mr. Lacy didn't see these before. You mentioned that the audit external auditor had endorsed all of these. We hear now that he hasn't.
Actually, what I read out was Clayton Vanesh's actual comments during the transcripts. That's what I was reading out.
You can go back and I clearly heard you say that he had endorsed these motions. So it was like, okay, that this is something that we should be doing. Did I misunderstand what you had said earlier through the chair?
I have to go back and read the transcripts. Councillor, do you have any questions?
Oh, I thought you guys were going back to read the transcript, because I just need clarification on that, because I'm finding this very difficult for us as council to be voting on this when, A, Mr. Lacey, our financial officer, didn't know about these questions until now, and that they're not or are recommended by the external auditor. So can we get the clarification from the what was said?
I guess I misspoke. He had input on discussion but didn't endorse.
So these are all on council floor without Mr. Lacey, our chief financial officer, knowing about them, without our external auditor endorsing them, and we're all okay with this through the chair?
Sorry, what was that question, Councillor Nelson?
I'm trying to figure out if, A, now that we have clarity that the external auditor did not endorse these recommendations, Mr. Lacey did not have any knowledge of these recommendations coming forward until just prior to the meeting. Mr. Lacey, can you help me understand? I feel like this is bullying administration, and I'm not okay with this. And I really feel that this needs to be tabled. This needs to be put away. This needs to come back after the external auditor has seen it, after Mr. Lacey has seen it. Mr. Lacey, can you speak to this?
Mr. Lacey.
So through you, Mayor Masters, so I'm appreciating the opportunity being provided here, that if council's spending the time going through the clarity pieces, I think that's important for me to understand the expectations. I appreciate Mr. Nickel had the opportunity to consult with Ms. Kruluk, who did attend the meeting, but in my subsequent conversations with Ms. Kruluk and my questions with her, I didn't get the clarity that gave me the comfort without having this conversation with you not being at the committee meeting. And so that's why I'm asking the questions. So as long as council is willing to spend the time to go through and do the clarity pieces here, then I'm okay with this. So I don't have any further comment on that piece. And if I have questions and issues, I'm going to be sure to raise him here. I just want to make sure it's not a reflection on Ms. Kruluk. I'm falling off. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm responsible for meeting council and the committee's expectations through the city manager, and so I take that role seriously and understanding those pieces. To be quite frank, I say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but sometimes you guys can be a little scary, especially when it comes to the leadership team, like Ms. Kruluk, and that's nothing against her, but I think there's a desire to want to say yes and to meet expectations, and I just want to make sure we can and that we clearly understand what those expectations are.
So in hearing from Mr. Lacey and us not hearing from the auditor, I would like to table this and hear back from them after the discussion's been had with this motion, at least, and the next ones too. But I guess we have to vote on each motion, so I'd like to table this one.
Thanks very much. Seconder to table?
Bresciani.
Thank you, Councillor Bresciani. Clerks, can you start the vote?
Mayor Masters, the tabling motion has received 2 votes in favor, 8 against. Therefore, it is deemed to have been lost. Those voting in favor were Councillors Bresciani and Nelson. Voting against were Councillors Hawkins, Stadnichuk, Finduras, Zakidniak, Stevens, Moll, Mancinelli, and yourself, Mayor Masters.
Thanks very much. Councillor Nelson, do you have any further questions?
No, just keep bullying. Keep going.
Thanks very much. Councillor Stevens, please go ahead.
So, that was...
Just keep bullying. Just keep bullying along.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I love the most in city council meetings. It's... That sound that Councillor Nelson gets when she's clearly really peeved.
Yeah.
And she's just trying hard to keep it, like, keep her, like, irritation in check.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy it.
Me too. And I've noticed there have been a lot more.
Also because I can relate.
Yeah.
But maybe not in this instance, but I get it.
And I've noticed that there have been a lot more hot mics left running during council meetings, and we've been hearing a lot more sort of like frustrated sighs.
Yes, we heard one. Council. We heard one there from one of the councillors. Yes. Yeah.
So, anyways, this was all of these reports got passed. Most were passed unanimously. Barry Lacey, the CFO, was like, "Yeah, no, this is all good. I'm thanks for cluing me in. This is all fine. And yet somehow it just seemed to like expose once again just like the deep-seated dysfunction at city council right now.
Always fun. Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, on that note, we should probably call it a day.
Okay, so I'll move to adjourn.
I will second that motion.
Motion seconded. Okay, meeting is adjourned. You've been listening to the Queen City Improvement Bureau on 91.3 FM CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Tune into the community. Our hosts are Paul DeShannon and Aidan Morgan. Music by Guidewire, a.k.a. Ryan Hill. We are broadcast Thursday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m. We broadcast Monday afternoons, 3 to 4 p.m. You can find us on the radio, cjtr.ca. Also on X, formerly Twitter, at Queen City. And also, are we on Blue Sky, Paul? Not yet. We will be, though. We'll be on Blue Sky. That place has the juice. Anyway, until next week. Oh, and we've got a show coming up. I don't remember the name, but it features Patrick, which is important. There he is. What's that? The Record Room, a.k.a. Patrick. Until next time, keep bullying, Regina.